Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. This is Professor Danita Applewhite, and I'm speaking to you live from Mesa, Arizona, and I'm so happy to be here this morning, thanking God for waking up to a wonderful day. We have a great show lined up that's going to really awaken some things within you about how you communicate with others. In addition to communicating with others, we want to make sure that we have a great sense of how to communicate with ourselves. How about that one? Communicating with ourselves. How do you receive information? How do you process information? How do you share information? Remember, we're all students and teachers at one time in our lives. We interchange these roles of being a student one moment, of receiving information, and then being a teacher at another moment of sharing that information. So it's just a great experience to live and to be part of knowledge, to be part of receiving it and sharing it. I hope you all agree with me. As we move into the show this morning with our special guest, Robert Hickam, he's from the Salt River, Pima River Indian Council. And we also have our veteran on for this morning, Mr. Chip Checker, who will be coming on again for us and talking about something that is very close to his heart, about how we communicate with each other. So what I'd like to do is make sure that we all understand the basics of communication. What is communication? What is effective communication? So we know to communicate means that we usually say talking to each other. You know, I'm talking to you, you're talking to me. But there are a lot of different things that go on with communicating that don't involve necessarily talking. In other words, the nonverbal cues, the expression on our faces, the way we move our hands, the energy that we send out when we're speaking to each other. Communicating our needs to others is not very common, especially from a holistic standpoint of looking at everything that we're doing to communicate an idea to someone, not being afraid to communicate an idea to someone. Communicating our ideas in the workplace or in a school environment, a college environment, as adults, we find it very, very difficult to communicate with each other, specifically when we have disabilities and the disabilities that can't be seen, to try to communicate to others that we need accommodations, that we need some way of adapting to our environment a little differently than we did before we had a disability that in some way affected our functioning, the way we function in life, whether it's memory, concentration, or whether it's the way we walk, or whether we use a wheelchair. It could be the way we deal with pain. But there's always a way that we have to get in touch with, not only, again, going back to what I said at the very beginning, getting in touch with how we communicate with ourselves and then communicate these ideas out to others. Especially when we're talking about those of us that live in the Western world and Western society, it's even more difficult. And disability challenges, our physical stamina. Unfortunately, many adults in the workplace today experience negative stereotypes of the older workforce. I should say those of us over 30 years old, 40, when we were in school, we had negative stereotypes about people who didn't communicate the same way we did or learned differently than we did. And they never learned how to really communicate their needs to others because they were shut down because of those negative stereotypes that were out there. And they're still out there now, folks. They're still out there now, but there's a lot of different programs now, a different type of legislation that is committed to making sure that people with or without severe disabilities can at least work in a work environment where they're open to listening to their needs. And I say that encompassing the idea that there are a lot of women out there, as I've been sharing this topic with other people, interestingly, that have said to me, you know, you need to say something, too, about women who have children or men who are raising children alone and trying to communicate those ideas to their employers. Well, that's a different show. But I'll tell you something, I hear it, and I will make sure that we bring that back around again, because there's a lot of people that are raising children with disabilities out there. And that's really difficult, raising children with disabilities and communicating your needs at the same time. But it's really important that we learn how to communicate with others, and I've got some tips to share with you, tips that will really help you to be more effective in your communications with others and with yourself. And I'll share those with you now very quickly before I bring on our guest. I know some of you, get that pencil and paper and let's start writing down these things. Be accessible, okay? That means, in other words, you need to be there for someone when they're talking to you. You don't need to space out, and you need to make sure that they don't space out on you. At work, when you're working together to communicate, act like you're on a team and you're playing together, like a football game or a chess game. You're actually playing together back and forth and communicating with each other, and it's the same thing we do with words that we would do with a ball. Use humor. Sometimes it's good to use humor when we're trying to communicate with people. Try to keep things light, okay, and before we get into the deep, dark issues of whatever problem that we're having. In other words, being considerate that the other person may not understand how sad you are, how deep it is with you. So start off with a little lightness in your conversation. Or when someone's coming to you to communicate, present to them that instead of saying right away, it'll be over soon, or this too shall pass, give them an ear. Give them an ear, and not a physical ear, you guys know that, okay? See, I put a little humor in there. There was a famous artist some time ago who actually cut off his ear and gave it to someone, so Vincent Van Gogh. But that's not what I'm talking about when I say give your ear. I mean to truly give someone your attention when you're communicating with them. And try your best to be as spicy as you can. And spicy I mean by being diverse, by being open. That's something that Chip Steckel, the one that's going to be on our show today, have talked about a lot. About being diverse, open to diversity, and not being afraid to talk to people who are a different color or a different language or a different culture than we are. And most importantly, keep it down to earth. Keep it real. When you have something that you want to communicate to others, whether you are the sender, you're sending information, or whether you're receiving information, make sure that you do that by keeping it real, as down to earth as you can. So with that, I hope that I'll get a chance to repeat those tips towards the end of the show, but if not, you can always get in touch with me through White Apple Institute, our sponsor for the show. And we thank you so much for joining us this morning. Praise God that we have so many people on the switchboard this morning. I don't know if I'll be able to get to all of you, but I'll do my best. We have our special guest coming on in a moment, Robert Hickam from Salt River. And we have also some other guests coming on, some listeners at 623-879. Good morning.
Yes, good morning. This is Chip. This is Chip at that number.
Oh, good morning, Chip. I'm so glad you called in. We'll be getting to you when we get to that segment of our show where we ask veterans for their opinions. And every week we try our best to get a veteran on the show. And we thank you so much for filling in for that spot. And we have another guest on this morning. Good morning. Praise to God. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for calling in this morning. This is Professor Applewhite. Do you have questions about communication or question about our show? Are you new to us? Hello? Didn't mean to put you on the spot like that, but I'm glad that you're here this morning. And we have another call. I don't know if I can get to everyone this morning, but we really appreciate you calling in. We're going to have to go back to our guest speaker for a moment. Let me introduce you to Robert Hickam. Robert?
Yes, good morning.
Tell us a little bit about what you do for the Salt River Council.
Well, actually, it's a Salt River Pima Maricopa the Indian community. I don't work for the council. I just work for the Salt River Pima Maricopa. Basically, what I do is we work and we're community-based in Salt River community, and we work with kids and adults aging from 5 all the way up to, you know, to adults.
Mm-hmm.
And we work with kids with special needs. We work with adults with special needs. We have a program called COIN. We have a lot of referral bases, and we try to work with kids who are referred to us through schools as well. We teach culture to the kids as well, as far as the language, and then also the traditions. And just family values. We also have a program that's in the community to just, you know, work with different adults and also teens who are struggling with addiction as well.
Oh, really?
Yes. Because we try to, you know, we want to make sure that, you know, everybody has, maybe a problem that they're searching or dealing with something, and we want to make sure that the families know that they're not alone, and we want to try to establish some type of support group to where that, you know, they can, you know, stay positive and be around positive people at all times.
And I bet you deal a lot with this issue of learning how to communicate with them and teaching them how to communicate with you.
I'm sorry, say it one more time.
I said, I bet you spend a lot of time on working on, you know, communication skills, on how we can teach them to communicate with us.
Yes,
and we
definitely
learn how to communicate with them, the consumer. They become the consumer or your client.
Right, and you know, a lot of it, you know, a lot of people that's not from the community. Once you're coming in, you know, one of the things you have to learn is to listen, because not being from the community, have to listen first. And, you know, you can't come in thinking that you can make decisions for people. You're there to assist and also to educate. And that's one of the roles that we play is that when we get information from the state side, we try to collaborate and then disseminate the information throughout the community. And one of the ways we do that is once a month we have an outreach. And basically what we do, we have vendors that come, and basically we have different faith groups that come and sing, and we have food. And if there's like new programs stateside, also in the community, we invite them to come and share their information. And one of the ways we try to get out that information is we go door-to-door, putting flyers on people's door and speaking to people. Then we also go stateside and also trying to get the information out that way as well. And then we also travel sometimes to Fort McDowell and Gila River and Ak-Chin. And you know, now that we have a computer that we can disseminate information that way to get out to more people, we average sometimes close to about 150 to 200 people at our event. Yes. And it's, you know,
now,
kids
I know that
adults.
You work pretty much in the Arizona area, and we have callers that listen to us from all over the United States and even in some different countries. And what we encourage them to do always is they hear about these different programs to find ways that they can duplicate these things in their own community, because there are a lot of people out there that are trying their best to do a lot of community outreach. We've got a lot of problems in our nation, in our world. And part of it, as Chip will probably bring attention to, is that we don't talk to each other. We don't communicate very well with each other. And so that's one of the reasons why we have a lot of problems. So what I'd like you to do for a moment is tell us, when you get a call, I guess, from a school district, is that right?
Yeah.
The first initial contact you get from a school district that tells you that they want to send someone over to you? Like, say, for instance, a 17-year-old that's been on addiction. Been an addiction problem. Okay, what's your first step?
Okay, one of the things that we do, we as soon as we get a referral to us, and sometimes a lot of it is just walk-in. And when we get that, we assess the situation and see how we can address the problems that we can handle at the clubhouse. And once we're able to be able to assess as far as what all that person would need, you know, if there's, you know, if it's more intervention, or do they need a support group, or do they just need to be educated about their struggles. And, you know, and one of the things that, you know, I'm really excited about working in Salt River is they already have a lot of great programs. And I would, you know, especially if it's a young man or a young woman, they have a fatherhood program and a motherhood program that, you know, that they can go to and get where people are really struggling with, and, you know, be able to talk about, you know, a lot of kids are dealing with not having their parents there, and so there's mentors here in the community to assist them and be with them and let them know that they're not alone and they're loved, and, you know, and we have support here. And if there's something that we, yes, and if there's something that we don't have here in the community, we also collaborate with other state agencies that, you know, that maybe focus on that individual's what their personal needs are. So
now, do you have a lot of people with the non-visible disabilities, such as mental health issues?
Do we get say it one more time?
You get a lot of people that come to you with mental health issues, the non-visible disabilities, the ones that you can't see.
We don't get a lot, but we get a few. We're very fortunate that, like my supervisor, Mr. Rudy Buchanan, has been working in the community for probably about 12 years. And
wonderful,
so
gentlemen.
And he established a community-based Salt River Coalition. And basically what they do is we get together and we talk about what are some of the needs. And when we see people that has mental needs, We try to refer them to the behavioral health counselors, and a lot of times, you know, first when you get a person that has a lot of concerns, it's because they've been turned away a lot, and so sometimes you have to listen, you know, and see what they want, and sometimes they're just scared or it could be a trust issue, and it's something that sometimes we would have to physically walk them through the door or walk them through the steps to make sure that they get their support, because they come to us, number one, because they trust us, and then we're not gonna put them in a situation where they're gonna fail. And so, and then when we hand them off to the next person, we already have that relationship that where they feel secure enough that, you know, everything will be fine. And that, you know, and that's one of the things that we're very fortunate to have, that, you know, we have great partners in the community, but we also have great partners outside and stateside as well.
Well, I just congratulate you, and we always want to hear about success stories and things that are happening with different community-based agencies out there, so we appreciate you being on the show this morning. And
okay.
I want you to stick around for a few more minutes because we may have time for some questions from the audience and
okay.
also time to recap a little bit on that great disabilities, 50 year of disability conferences that you've done in the community that you had me speak at, you and your boss, Rudy Buchanan. Wonderful conference. Without further delay, though, I would like to bring on Chip so he can bring out some tips. Chip with the tips. There you go. Chip, are you there?
Yes, Dr. Applewhite. Good morning and peace to you.
Good morning. Peace to you. Well, this is our topic, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. I love to talk about communication. I've done a lot of coaching and teaching of communication skills in my career, but one of the things that is really a personal hot button, and I did hear Robert speak to it earlier, and I was kind of listening for your conversations, and
mm-hmm.
it is using the word listen, because,
mm-hmm.
You know, we've all heard the cliche, God gave us two ears and one mouth, use them in that proportion.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think that's one of the keys to listening. And I'd like to just share a quick story I heard at a conference I was at a couple of weeks ago.
Okay.
And I'll tell you, I'm plagiarizing this. So it came from a gentleman named Stephen Little, who is a motivational speaker. And he has a craving for vanilla milkshakes. And
uh-huh.
he always puts a smile on his face. And, you know, he's a busy corporate traveler. And since 9/11, and those of us that travel a lot, and particularly those who may have some mobility issues that travel a lot, they understand the challenges of airline travel and train travel and, you know, car travel every day, and just getting around. Well, Mr. Little keeps a smile on his face all day because he thinks of the vanilla milkshake he's going to have at the end of his day, and. We got into Baltimore late one night, and about midnight, 4-star hotel, long line, rainy. You know, he was supposed to be at a dinner engagement at 7 p.m., arrived at midnight, and just thought, all right, gets in the room. First thing he does, heads to the phone, calls for room service, says, I want a vanilla milkshake.
Mm-hmm.
And the young man on the other end is, you know, probably well-trained, 4-star resort, all these people are, well, I'm sorry, sir, we don't have vanilla milkshakes.
Uh-huh.
And just kind of bursts his bubble, and he goes, now, you know, wait a minute here, you know, he's been thinking about this, and this is his treat. He says, do you have, you know, this is a 4-star hotel, do you have vanilla ice cream? Yes. Do you have milk?
Okay.
Put a half a glass of milk and a big bowl of vanilla ice cream, the biggest spoon you have. You
uh-huh.
know, and the... You know, the young man was probably an intelligent young man, but he just wasn't listening,
right.
you know, and wasn't really thinking outside of the box of what his client was asking at the time.
Right.
And it just goes to show you we don't, you know, really listen to what people are saying. And that's just a
mm-hmm.
you know, example of it. And some of the tips and ways we can do that is by asking clarifying questions or
mm-hmm.
saying things like, now let me understand what you just said, and paraphrase and repeat back to it. First of all,
right.
that engages the speaker and the speaker. And now, just like you talked about, Dr. Applewhite, you have a team concept. You have two people engaging in conversation.
Yes.
And, you know, so hopefully, the other thing you can do is you can, you know, when you speak with someone, look at them directly. And
mm-hmm.
you mentioned it earlier in your talk on the show today.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we're afraid to deal with people with disabilities.
Right.
Now, you know, you know my business, and 100% of my clients have some sort of physical challenge or physical disability.
Yes.
And we had a young man you know, a client called us the other day to schedule an appointment.
And was he a veteran?
Pardon me?
Was he a veteran?
You know, I don't know. I don't know if he was or not a veteran. About half of our clients are, so we do like to treat them all the same. But you know, I have a fondness in my heart for the veterans, so I.
Of course, you're a veteran yourself.
Yes, and I've told you about my veterans tributary I have in my facility, and you know, we have a flag painted on the wall, and all veterans that come in the building are asked to sign the wall, and someone will stand there for 15 minutes. They sign their name, their rank, the years they served, and what their specialty was. So you look at it, and, you know, there's Green Berets, and there's medics, and there's special forces, and there's aviation, and mechanics, and military police, and, you know, everything you can think of. And people just sit there for 10, 15 minutes looking at the names on the wall, you know, and the dates they served and where they served. But
so what about this young man?
Yeah, this young man comes in, and he says, well, I have to get my vehicle in because I'm disabled. And, you know, again, I'm thinking, well, you know our business and you know what we are, and all of our clients are disabled. And so while we don't treat them different, we treat them all the same. And that's where, you know, I was going with this and with the communication. When you're speaking to a disabled person, there's you know, and I'm talking about physically disabled. You know, and even with the mentally challenged, and you're more of an expert on the mentally challenged than I am, but I still believe basic communication skills are the same no matter what. You have to look beyond those, and the way to do that is to concentrate and look at them in the eye and speak to them directly. If they're down on it, they're sitting lower on a wheelchair, you can get down on one knee. Some people find that offensive. Some just say, you know, but don't be afraid to ask. When you're speaking with someone in wheelchairs, I've been advised, don't touch their wheelchair. Don't lean on it. That is a portion, that is part of their body, that chair.
Yes.
They live in that chair hours a day. Respect
and
it.
This
you know,
is real important when we talk about nonverbal communication also. I like something that Robert had said earlier about trust, too. You know, you develop a certain amount of trust with someone, and that opens up the door of communication with another person. I think that what we're saying overall is that, back to those tips that we were talking about, getting down to earth and being real with people, listening, in other words, sharing information and receiving information. We're all, in the process of communication, we're all listening and sharing at the same time. Many times when someone speaks, we actually think that we can finish their sentence, that we know what they're saying. What we hope that will happen now is that people will be more open to just to truly listening to another person without trying to outthink what they're trying to say. We thank you very much for serving our country. I as a veteran myself, I'm very, very interested in talking about having a component of the show that talks about veterans and our communication with each other, especially in this age of the soldiers returning with issues such as PTSD. And that is post-traumatic stress disorder, for those of you who are not familiar with it. And when we talk about that particular disorder with our service men and women, many times we have a lack of communication about what they're really going through. And so I appreciate both of you being on the show this morning and sharing your tips on communication. And I also, we don't have enough time for any questions from listeners right now, but we certainly hope that we do have a chat room open. And if you could go into the chat room and type out any of your questions that you have, or give us a call at White Apple Institute at 480-471-8082. You can get us online at whiteappleinstitute.org, and we'll be glad to talk to you on any of these issues of how to communicate a little better, how to get yourself into any kind of agency that so that you can be serviced. And praise God. We thank you very, very much for being here. And thank you, Robert, especially Robert, for the work. Please let Rudy know that we really appreciate the Disability Conference that he gave. And We'd like to share more on that if you are willing to come back on the show, because we'd love to hear more about what you're doing, especially with addiction issues. So we'd like to invite you back on again. Chip?
I would love to come back and speak. Thank you so much.
Yes, you know, and we only have a half an hour on the show, and so it's very it's limiting in a sense, but again. And Chip, you know that we want you back because we need that veterans, that overview of what's going on with veterans, and you being a veteran yourself, maybe you can get more speakers for us to come on and talk about some of these issues.
I will correspond via email with you and line up some veterans to join your show that can talk about their experiences.
Thank you so much. Well, God bless you. Much love and peace to all of you as we close this morning with the Student to Teacher Show. Remember that we're all students and teachers in our lives.